All right, here we go. We're up on D-Live now.
Long day, General. You've got sturdy kidneys.
Hopefully for 20 more minutes.
Yes. I'm going to try to land this plane early. I believe the FBI is the premier law enforcement agency in all of human history. Would you disagree with that?
I would not.
But clearly we've got some bad apples. I want to thank you, and I want to thank your team for your usual superb job. After I haven't read the entire report. I'm about 70% of the way through, but I'm going to finish it. It's tedious.
Yes.
I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. It's supposed to be tedious.
Right.
After about 15% of the way through, it made me want to heave. After about 25% of the way through, I thought I dropped acid. It's surreal. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
I've read it multiple times, and every time I read it,
let me ask you this. How many members comprised the Misfire Hurricane team?
Mm-hmm. There were three teams over that period of time. I would venture to guess, again, depending on how you count them.
Just roughly.
At least half a dozen to a dozen on each of those iterations. I'll turn around and see if I'm somewhat close.
Does that include their supervisors?
Generally speaking.
Half dozen to a dozen?
And probably a little bit more if you're going to go all the way up the chain through all the different levels at the Bureau.
Do you or your team have a feel for how many of these folks are still at the FBI? I know you tried to answer that. Does anybody know that?
Well, the higher level people, as you know, have changed over in the last year. So the director, deputy director, et cetera, the assistant director, deputy assistant director, a lot of people at the upper levels are no longer.
But are some of the actual agents?
Some of the agents are still there. Some
are
of the
they still working on FISA applications?
I would encourage you to speak to the FBI about that.
Yeah, I think we will.
I think they've taken
D-Live some steps. D-Live has great emojis.
It's easier.
My goodness, these are fantastic emojis, actually. Look at this.
That's clear.
Amazing.
At least at the FBI. Is Mr. Orr still at the Department of Justice?
That my understanding is he is.
He's still there?
That's my understanding.
How long within the FBI, I know you just issued your report, but how long within the FBI has this been knowledge?
So we sent the draft for classification
Not your document, excuse me for interrupting, but just the fact that there was a major league screw-up here.
It evolved over time. They did not know a lot of this until we found it.
But they
so
know
for
it
example,
now, right?
The altered email.
No, Sway knows right. It now, though, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. As of the end of August.
Right. Does your report vindicate Mr. Comey?
It doesn't vindicate anyone at the FBI who touched this, including the leadership.
Does it vindicate Mr. McCabe?
Same answer.
How about Ms. Page?
A little different there because, as we found here, she wasn't involved in this, so I actually largely wasn't involved in this. So
she participated in the
discussions. In some discussions, but was not in the FISA chain, which is...
Who briefed the agent that was sent to surveil Michael Flynn?
That's the
during the meeting.
The stream owner, that's not me doing that.
That
valid
was discussed,
point, though. She's hot.
Up and down the chain at the FBI.
Okay.
So that was not a hidden fact or hidden information.
All right. I like the fact that you and your team are very precise in your language. I wish I wrote as well as you and your team do. And I noticed you were careful to say, I'm going to quote here, we did not find documentary or testimonial evidence that political bias or improper motivation influenced the decisions to open the four individual investigations. Your words.
Correct.
No documentary evidence and no testimonial evidence. So you didn't find any documents that said we did this to get Trump, right?
Or text messages like the struck page text messages.
And nobody who was involved in this circus without a tent looked you in the eye and said, yep, I did it to get Trump. Nobody did that.
Or, for example, a whistleblower come in or other people tell us they heard something like that.
But none of the agents you talked to looked you in the eye and said, yeah, you're right, I did it to get Trump.
And nobody came in through a different means and said, I've got a problem here with this, what's going on.
I mean, you don't have to qualify as Mensa material to know not to do that to the inspector
Farron Cousins.
General, right?
Yes, although look at some of the text messages we found. So I'm not sure.
I understand.
That may be a counter narrative to that.
Well, I don't want to get too, I don't know what's the word, epistemological here, but is the absence of evidence always the evidence of absence?
No, it isn't.
So can you rule out categorically, unequivocally, and unconditionally that there was no bias here by the fact that you didn't find anything in writing and none of these chuckleheads looked you in the eye and said, yeah, I did it to get Trump?
Well, yeah, it's rare that I could tell you at any point in time I could unequivocally 100% say this actually happened. So okay. I get it. I will say that somewhat the difference on the opening is we concluded, based on the evidence, that Mr. Priestap opened it. We have not seen in last year's investigation or this investigation, looking through texts, emails, et cetera, talking to other people, any evidence that he did it for a improper purpose. Can I tell you 1,000% someone won't walk in a week and say, aha, you missed this? But
well,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about the people involved in the initial FISA application and the renewal. These are experienced people, right?
In this case, these were experienced people.
Many of them had professional degrees, include but not limited to law degrees, right?
I actually don't know what all their degrees were.
Okay. They knew the law.
They should have not only known the law, they should have known every single policy that they had to deal with.
I mean, they were handpicked by Mr. McCabe, right?
They were handpicked.
Okay. This wasn't their first rodeo.
It certainly wasn't, with maybe an exception or two towards the end, of relatively new agents coming on board.
Well,
but that, to me, that is, should not have been an excuse, just to be clear.
Well, it just seems to me that it has to be one or two things, either incompetence or intentional conduct.
I agree. It's either sheer incompetence, intentionally, or something perhaps in between.
So what do you think it is?
We've got so many different people here. First of all, it wouldn't be fair to lump everybody into one because there are different actors coming in at different times. Some people have more touches of this than others. I think it's fair for people to sit there and look at all of these 17 events and wonder how it could be purely incompetence. Okay.
Well, I want to thank you again. I know this puts you in a tough spot. And I hope you'll tell your colleagues back at the FBI that we appreciate their work.
Absolutely.
But it's got to be fixed.
Yeah. Senator Black.
At a minimum, somebody's got to be fired.
Yeah, agree completely. There's got to be a change in the culture also.
I'm done.
Agreed. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm done, Chairman.
Excellent. Senator Black.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And General, I know you're happy to see the end of the dais coming at you. You're going to get out of here. Let me pick up right where Senator Kennedy left off, because I will tell you the perception by the American people from reading your report, and we've all put up links so that people can read it, is that this was intentional, that it was deliberate, that it was malicious, it was premeditated and well thought out, and that it is conducted by people who were desperate. In essence, it is the epitome of the swamp. It is murky and muddy, and people weren't going to get their way, and this guy who was going to win and then did win didn't deserve to win. And it does have the appearance of intentionality, mm-hmm. because you would not have this series of unfortunate coincidences. That is not what it is. Mm-hmm. It is the surveillance state at work. Mm-hmm. This is what they did. And they took their professional place and those tools that they had at their disposal to go spy on a campaign and on U.S. citizens, which is unbelievable. And you've heard it from several today that people can't believe this happened. And you can say, yes, there are sins of omission here, but there are also sins of commission. Mm-hmm. And they were deliberate and intentional and very malicious in the way they went about this. I want to talk a little bit about Christopher Steele. I was looking in Appendix A, I think mm-hmm. it's page 419, and it says in there he was paid $95,000 over a three-year period of time, I believe.
Correct.
Okay, and what was that money paid to him for?
So that would have been for various pieces of information that he gave to the FBI after being a CHS in 2013.
All right.
But not related to be clear, not related to Crossfire Hurricane.
Correct.
Between 13 and 16.
Right. He was considered a trusted source, and thereby he was paid.
Correct.
Okay. And then he began working with Fusion GPS in June of 2016. And that really should have raised some alarm bells. Mm-hmm. With you all, November comes along of that year, and you drop Steele as a source, correct?
Well, the FBI drops Steele.
The FBI drops him. He wasn't trusted anymore, and that was because he blew his cover.
Correct.
He started talking to the media, and they should have stopped relying on him at that point, correct?
Under FBI rules, once you're closed, you need certain approvals to start reinitiating and reengaging.
That's right. But the FBI kept using him, correct?
They met with him through Bruce Orr.
Yes. And they used him for information after he was cut off.
They received that information.
Right. 13 different times.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. So then we get this dossier. It is used as a big part of setting up this entire process for
what's the night FISA screen? Uh-oh. The video is now unavailable. All right, let's see. Was she like the last person to go? Excuse the soundboard. Yeah, it looks like they shut this bitch down. Towards the end. All right, these seem to be still going. We'll go back to this one.
It became an effort by...
Okay, we're good.
With using him and exercised extremely poor judgment, correct?
Nice screen.
Certainly once they found out that he had done... they had decided to close him, they should have followed the rules if they wanted to reengage with him. But they had plenty of information to question... the validity and the bona fides of some of the reporting.
Should Bruce Orr be held criminally responsible for his conduct?
We make a recommendation to the department.
And that's for others to make.
Others will make the decision.
Let me ask you, a couple of times we've heard about lower level FBI agents and lawyers who had generated some of these inaccuracies, these mm-hmm. 17 inaccuracies. So what is the process for supervisors fact-checking?
So under the Woods procedures, these factual accuracy procedures put in place in response to prior instances found of the failure to accurately relay information to the court, the first-line supervisor is supposed to go through and recheck the process to make sure it was done. That did not happen here.
And
on multiple occasions.
Right. And why did that not happen on these multiple occasions that this work was not checked?
Because we were given explanations ranging from a lack of understanding of the process to...
So they were trying to skirt not only the rules, but the law.
We got a lot of explanations that we didn't find particularly satisfying.
That they were skirting the law. I think what they did to Carter Page, as you have heard, is just unbelievable. Let me ask you this. How often do you find mistakes in a FISA application?
Well, this is actually the first time my office has done a deep dive into a particular application. We've done higher level reviews on the FISA process and have found various issues at a higher level, but this is the first time we've actually been able to delve in this way to a FISA.
It's a fairly unusual occurrence.
Let me put this, I would hope so.
If it's not an unusual occurrence, there are more cultural problems than you know about at the FBI, correct?
That's correct.
I would say so too. Okay. I want to touch on accountability in the short amount of time that I have left, because I think it is absolutely just infuriating to the American people that those who executed this exercise, which should have been called Operation Takedown Trump, because that's what they were doing, that they are still getting a taxpayer-funded paycheck. They're still getting taxpayer-funded benefits and vacation time. When they take off for Christmas, they're going to be on the taxpayer dime. And, you know, around here, from time to time, you'll hear people talk about those that went after the late Senator Stevens. One of them still working for the U.S. Attorney's Office up in Anchorage. Another one is working in Spokane. Senator Stevens was found to be innocent, and they're still getting a government paycheck. So we want to make certain that disciplinary action is taken. I know you were asked about case agent number one. He is still there. What about SSA one?
Okay.
Who did the security briefing? Still employed?
That's my understanding.
Okay, so he is still using our money to fund his lifestyle.
Do I have to be logged in?
And the lawyer, we know, is going to have face criminal referrals, correct?
I'm just going to stick with what we say in here, which is referred it to the Attorney General and the FBI Director.
Okay. The FBI sent a supervisory... No, I don't want to ask you that. I think we know the answer to that.
Do I have to be logged into my account?
Peter Strzok approved the request to expedite the first FISA application, and he, along with Lisa Page, pushed for the expedition of the first application with DOJ officials, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We know that she was, in answer to what Senator Kennedy asked you, she was involved in the line of communication and the setup of this, correct?
She was involved in at least the one meeting that we identify in the report.
Okay. And I found it curious in your report, and this is the reason I ask it. You said that they had no role in the preparation of the approval of any of the four FISA warrant applications. So I guess if you're saying not putting pen to paper and giving a nod or an up or down.
They were not in the, there's a substantial chain of approval that has to go on at the FBI. They were not in the chain that had to sign off on it, but they did get involved, as you indicated, in pushing the department to get answers to,
so they were
can
involved
we move
in
forward?
The process, but just not
in that way.
Final approval.
They did not have responsibility at any step of this for signing.
Okay, we're going to get you out of here maybe a few seconds early. I just want to thank you and your team very much for the patience, for being here, for the report that you've given. I think that many of us look forward to what General Durham is going to say when he takes up some of this, but I think it's important to note also, this is not the first time something has happened like this. Mm-hmm. In one of our federal agencies. And the reaction when I'm at home in Tennessee from people is they cannot believe the absolute maliciousness that took place with this. It is not unfortunate coincidences. It is the surveillance state. Yield back.
And if I could just thank you also. You mentioned Senator Stevens and the bill that Senator Lee has pending that you co-sponsored and joined. I appreciate your support for our work.
Thank you. We're truly near the end. Senator Hirono has one question.
One question. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Horowitz, you are investigating for 19 months, 100 witnesses, a million documents. You even have a hotline for whistleblowers.
Right.
So did any whistleblowers come forward during your investigation with any concern that errors were made intentionally or out of bias against Trump? I mean, for example, I'm looking at the footnote on page 339 of your report, and you know, it cites some of the very colorful pro-Trump tweets that were made by some of the FBI agents. One would think that if they knew anything, they would have contacted you in the 19-month investigation that you conducted. Did anybody come forward?
We did not have any such evidence.
So no documents, no testimony, no one coming forward to complain that would be another way of gauging motives, as you put it, correct?
Correct.
No one came forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I probably violated the Geneva Convention today. I mean, you sit there 4 hours and not give you a bathroom break. I really appreciate what all of you did. This is a well-documented report. There's sort of a blue team, red team view to some extent, but I'm sort of glad to see all of us coming together that this should never happen again. The FISA system to survive has to be reformed. To the FISA court, we're looking to you to take corrective action. If you take corrective action, that will give us some confidence that you should stick around. If you don't, it's going to be hurtful to the future of the court. I think all of us are now thinking differently about checks and balances in that regard. The country would be stronger. Let me just end with where I began. Rather than debating whether or not there was a legal predicate, reasonable articulation, which is a very low standard, to open up a preliminary investigation, Durham will have his view of what really happened. He may know more than you. I don't know. I trust him to be fair. I trust you to be fair. The fact that three lawyers disagree is okay. No one's ever suggested y'all did a bad job. You've done a great job. You can reach your conclusion about the legal predicate, and you have, and I respect it. And I'm going to assume for a moment that's the right conclusion. That doesn't matter at all to me, because after it was opened, it became a nightmare. It became something that can never happen again.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Conspiracy.
There we go.
To defraud the court. It became an effort by, and I respect it. And I'm going to assume for a moment that's the right conclusion. That doesn't matter at all to me, because after it was opened, it became a nightmare. It became something that can never happen again. It became, over time, a criminal conspiracy to defraud the court. It became an effort by lawyers to doctor evidence. It became a conscious effort to deny the court exculpatory information about an American citizen. They should have stopped, at least in January 2017. When the Russian subsource said everything in the dossier, I disavow. Poor Carter Page. Two more warrant renewals after they were on notice the dossier was unreliable. All I can say is that why they did it, you can make your own decision. But it's pretty clear to me that this was a lot of things, but it was not a counterintelligence investigation to protect Donald Trump. This was opened as a counterintelligence investigation, and it kept going and going and going after it should have stopped, because the last thing on their mind was to protect Donald Trump. A lot of the key players here were upset with the outcome of the 2016 election. And man, they had a lot of power. And that's what worries me the most. You may not like what the American people do, but you should honor their decision. And the reason the investigation survived and kept going after so many stop signs is because people wanted it to keep going. The reason nobody briefed Donald Trump about you may have people working for you connected to Russia is they could give a damn about protecting him. This is just my view. It's kind of odd that in a counterintelligence investigation, you never briefed the person who's the subject of the foreign influence, like you did Dianne Feinstein and like they did Hillary Clinton. So the bottom line here is, I hope we never have a defensive briefing or intelligence briefing where you send an FBI agent to do a 302 on the people you're briefing. This is some really scary stuff. I think I know what their motivation was, but it doesn't matter. They did it. Hope somebody holds them accountable. And I hope it never, ever happens again. To my Democratic friends, this could happen to you one day. Mr. Horowitz, do you agree that every politician in America should be concerned about what happened here?
I'll go further. Every American should want to make sure this FISA process works the right way.
Finally, to those of us in politics, how easy it is for somebody to come in our lives and our campaigns as volunteers. And I would hope the FBI would tell me if they've got a reasonable suspicion that somebody in my campaign is a bad actor, so I can do something about it. What scares me the most is that the power to open up a counterintelligence investigation is almost unlimited. The power to abuse it is exactly what your report tells us about. Thank you. The hearing's adjourned. And finally, this is the beginning, not the end, of this committee's involvement in this matter. Much more to follow. Thank you.
All right. Not bad. It'll be interesting to see how the media covers this. They're obviously going to lie their asses off. But pretty good for the most part. We'll have a recap next news stream. Not 100% sure when that is. I'm going to start doing news aggregation now. I'll probably do a stream. It'll either be late tonight or it'll be early tomorrow, but I'll keep you guys posted. Streamlabs. Cooper Sees the Truth says, it's so weird how Dems have the backs of super-duper extra-racist law enforcement agencies like the FBI when they're blatantly railroading people, when one of those people is Trump, but they shit on, attack, hate, and lie about the FBI and cops any other time. Yes, it's disparaging our institutions anytime someone else criticizes the FBI. But they're allowed to do it as they see fit. Like with Barr, they can say whatever they want about Barr. They can say he's illegitimate, but no one can say anything about people who are actually committing crimes. So, all right, so all the people that super chatted in Streamlab, thank you for your support. All the people that came over from YouTube to DLive, thank you very much. All the people that are here, DLive as their regular channel, thank you very much. And I will upload the hearing to the podcast site, hardnewsnetwork.podbean.com. I am the Hard Bastard. Thank you for watching. Real quick, one just came in. Cooper Sees the Truth says, I would still not trust the FISA court, FBI, or any government employee, but they ought to pass a law and make it mandatory that any agent filing a FISA application must stand before the judge and swear they know of no exculpatory evidence. Yeah, like and have like some sort of penalty, like if they, you know, if they lie, that they would be facing some sort of legal prosecution. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to do to get people to trust FISA or the FBI. Again, it's not just this instance. I mean, decades of ridiculous bullshit. All right, guys, thank you very much, and I'll keep you posted on when the next stream is.